Hi, welcome to Forward Church, pastored by Dan and Tini Tiati, with locations on the Gold Coast and in Logan, Queensland, Australia. You're listening to our Logan Campus podcast, and we pray that this message will empower you to be all that God has called you to be.
How's it going, guys? You guys want to sit down already? Have a seat. Awesome. So good to be here. It's a huge honor to be here in Logan. We've been kind of part of the journey, and you know, from New Zealand, hearing, you know, that this was going to happen, and to see what God has been doing even over the last year. It's been amazing. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Ivan Wong Kee, and I'm Samoan Chinese. That's where the Chinese last name comes from. Okay, some of you guys thought it was French, but no, it's Chinese. So both of my grandfathers are full Chinese. Okay, so yeah, so you can imagine having a last name Wong Kee. I see some of my Chinese brothers and sisters over here. You get a lot of attention, you know. Especially when the roll is called out at school. Because your name starting with W is always last.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So, you know, I brought so much joy to so many people over the years. I remember going up to my mum and dad, actually my mom, because at the age of 10, I was like, man, I'm sick and tired of being teased with my last name. So I went to mom, can I change my name to your maiden name? And she goes, yeah, sure. What's your maiden name? She goes, Ah Heng. And I went, oh, my God. I'll stay with Wong Kee. I'm married to just one woman, and her name is Julie. She came through a couple of weeks ago to Gold Coast to spend time with Tini, and we've got three children. My oldest son is 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. He's going, far out, bro. Did you start having kids when you were like 10 years old or something? It was illegal back then, but wife just got out of prison. It's all good. So he's 20. He's studying in Auckland. Apparently gaming's a big industry now, so he's doing a software engineering to design games. Apparently that can be a career path now. So all those hours on PlayStation has come to something, you know. And then I've got my lovely daughter, Jennifer. She's 16, and she is the most beautiful and most compassionate young lady that I know. And then my youngest one, his name's Samuel, and Samuel scares me. He's a big boy. He's just about 100 kilograms at the age of 14, and what scares me about Samuel is he's most like me. So I know what goes through his head, you know, and so that scares me a lot. So I feel like what you've sown is about to be reaped. But no, he's awesome, and that's our family, and we've been, chasing after God for the last two decades. And so we joined Arise going on about 12 years ago, and when I joined Arise, I met your awesome pastors, Dan and Tini.
Wow.
And we weren't just pastoring together, he was my boss. Okay, so you just need to know he was my boss. First service I came to, I actually sat at the back like most new people, and then as soon as times, you know, the service coming to an end, I shot out the back, you know. And Pastor Dan, I don't know, he must have been like the Flash because he was already outside. Hey! And I'm like, whoa, I saw that guy on the front row, now he's at the back. Yeah, so he's got these superpowers to kind of be on the back. And he invited me along to his place that week to have dinner, and it was amazing. He goes, we're having an island dinner, you should come along. So he invites a few other people along, and about six other couples. And the funny thing was is that everyone cooked the same island dish.
Yeah.
So there's six versions of chop suey. which isn't even us Islandish, it's actually Chinese. But it was the start of an amazing friendship, and I've always been inspired by Pastor Dan and Tini. You guys have amazing pastors. And because I've been, give them a clap. Because I've kind of known them in a different setting at a different time, so I've kind of been in the pastoral trenches with your pastors. I've kind of seen them in their home, and if there's one thing I've learnt over the years with Pastor Dan, I remember one of my first meetings, I sat down before I came on staff at church, I said to Pastor Dan, I said, oh, I'm an evangelist, you know, I'm not a pastor, so don't get me to look after people. And Dan would just nod and goes, no, that's fine. And then Pastor Dan said to me, he goes, no matter what your gift is, we're all called to love people. And if there was one thing that I learned from Dan and Tini, is this. They taught me how to love people. You have the legit, real deal pastors. And look after them because, man, they will take you on a journey to reach a generation. Amen. Love these guys so much. Come on, we'll just give Pastor Dan and Tini one more round of applause. So greetings from Arise Church. Pastor John and Jillian, send their love. And we just can't wait to continue to see what God is doing through you guys. And if you've got your Bibles this morning I'm going to preach not just the message. There's lots of things that a preacher can preach, but there are some things that what we call are in a power zone for a preacher. They're kind of more than a message, they're more than a sermon. They're kind of like the life of a preacher. They're the things that a preacher has the most authority on, and when they speak on it, it's not hard to speak on, because it's something that they live and breathe. And for me, this is that. And so if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And, you know, if I had a title for this message, it would be this. Keep the main thing the main thing. Okay, I'll repeat that again. The title of this message is keep the main thing the main thing. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your presence in this place. And Lord, do what no man can do, and that's change hearts and transform lives and set people's hearts on fire. And Lord, may Ivan decrease and may the Lord increase. May I come with not the persuasive words of man, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would take my words and use them powerfully to expand your kingdom. May the fruit of this be that many people would be seen in a different light and many people will come to know you. I pray, Lord God, purpose will just explode in people's lives, and Lord, your calling will come alive. We give you glory in advance for everything you're about to do in the name of Jesus. And everyone said,
Amen.
We're reading from Matthew 28, 18, 20 says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. The amazing thing is that, to give you a little bit of background, Jesus is finishing off his ministry. He started his ministry at the age of 30, and he is now, the Bible says that he has been crucified, he has risen from the dead, and he's been hanging around on earth for about 40 days before he's about to ascend into heaven. Jesus has been seen by about 500 people in that 40 days, and that has been documented. And here we've got Jesus about to leave and ascend into heaven, and he's about to give his last instruction, his last words to his disciples. You know, when you're at a point where you're about to say goodbye to someone, whether it's at the airport or somewhere where you're not going to see someone for a while, you choose your words carefully. You realize that the last word you say, you want it to linger, to resonate, to percolate, to marinate. Oh, that all rhymed, didn't it? Sound like I was making a coffee for a moment there. You want the last word you say to count. And when Jesus gives this great commission, it was almost like he was wrapping up the last 3 years into one last commission. It was like he was saying, okay, now I'm going to wrap up. The last 3 years, I've taught you a lot of things. I've taught you how to love your enemies. I've taught you how to forgive. I've taught you how to honor leadership, and I've taught you how to have a successful marriage. I've taught you how to do so many things. But I want to take this time to now say to you that everything that I've taught you, it needs to be driven by this work. And he gives them the great commission. Now, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations and make disciples. Make disciples. Teaching them everything that I've taught you over the last 3 years. Teach them that. And you realize that this great commission is so important. It was so important because it was the last thing that kind of Jesus was trying to impart to his disciples. You realize that this last statement and this last commissioning was just so powerful because it was Jesus saying that if you keep this the main thing, then you will find that everything else will make sense. Jesus was communicating, saying, keep the main thing, the main thing. There's so many things that we can do in this church life. There's so many things that you can do as a Christian believer. But the commission and reaching the lost and making disciples is one of the only things you can't do when you get to heaven. I'll say that again. It's one of the only things that you will not be able to do once you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, man, the music and the worship is going to be amazing. There are going to be new albums going out every week. And the music is just going to be off the charts. They're just going to be like music that just permeates your being. And then, oh, the preaching in heaven. Well, Jesus is going to have a roster. And he's going to be preaching like 24/7. Like you can just turn up to like these auditoriums all over heaven, and Jesus will be preaching, and you'll be just like, okay, amen, come on now, bro. Yeah, he will be awesome. He'll fuse Jensen Franklin and Pastor T.D. Jakes and all these great preachers. They'll be nothing compared to Jesus when he's preaching the word in heaven. Oh, and the creative ministry in heaven is going to be amazing too. Oh man, you know the lights. Oh, don't get me started on the lights. The worship, everything's going to be amazing. But one thing you won't be able to do is reach lost people. That job is just for here. When you get to heaven, fellowship's going to be amazing. You're going to be able to talk to all of the Bible characters. You're going to be able to catch up. You're going to go knock on. I'm going to go knock on like all the famous Bible characters that we've been preaching about. I'm going to go see Moses. The first guy I'm going to go see is Jonah. I said, Jonah, was it a fish or a whale? And Jonah's going to turn around and go, it was disobedience. I want to go see, I want to see Moses. I want to go up to Moses and go, can you show us the staff trick again? Like, you know, you'll be at the fellowship, will be amazing, but you won't be able to reach your neighbors, your family. Because everywhere you look, they're saved. You turn, you wouldn't know Jesus, or else you wouldn't be here. You know Jesus. Guys like myself, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be unemployed. Evangelists going to have to join a new ministry in heaven. We're the only ones that are working out of a job. When we get to heaven, we'll be lining up in the dog queue on Thursdays. I'm going to join like the praise and worship team. I'm going to go when they say, okay, all the evangelists look well done. But you got no job now. You know the job I want? I'm going to go, can I join the praise and worship team? And they're going to go, I'm going to have to give you a new voice for that, bro. I'm going to ask for the job where, you know, there's these angels that fly around the throne? Yeah, I want to be one of the guys that's riding one of those angels. Hard. Like Lord of the Rings. And those angels are going around going, holy, holy. And I'll be like riding, going, yeah, holy. I want that job. I want to teach those angels just some new lyrics and stuff, you know. Just give them some new words to. They'll be saying it for millions of years, just the same old song. I'm like, bro, I got some Hillsong for you, brother. But in heaven, you won't be able to do this. You and I are the church. You are the answer to a broken and lost world. I'm going to say that again. You and I are the church. And we are the answer to a lost and broken world. Politics is not the answer. Social work is not the answer. Doing good deeds is not the answer. Although God can use all of those things, He has planned the church to be the answer. And the purpose of the church is to exist for its non-members. It's funny, eh? Because when you're not part of the church, church is all about you. But once you join the church, it ain't about you. I'll say it again because somebody needs to hear this. Yeah. When you're not part of the church, man, you are the focus. Yeah. It's all about you, reaching you. Yeah. But when now you're part of the family, it's like, okay, put on your overalls. This ain't about you anymore. Amen? God wants to use you to reach your world. Don't wait for a pulpit. Just cross over the desk. Walk across the street. One of the things that I love doing is reaching people for Jesus. If there's one thing that has been consistent over my life, over the last 22 years, is that I just haven't lost this passion just to lead people to Jesus. I must admit, in the early years, I was a little bit zealous with not much wisdom. But the fire hasn't stopped. Come on. And the thing that I notice about God is that when you're willing to fulfill the Great Commission, He is willing to empower you. He is willing to empower you. Amen? This isn't even a word of knowledge, but I guarantee this. Someone in your world this week is ready for Jesus. I'll say that again. somebody in your world is ready this week to receive Jesus. You have this Easter thing coming up. Guarantee, if you look for the one, you will find the one to invite along to that event. Easter weekend, one of the times on the calendar where people are most open to receiving an invitation to come to church. There is someone in your world, and I pray that God will reveal that person, that you will go on a search to find that one in your world. The person might be across the road. The person might be sitting in a desk beside you, at the PPTA meeting, the rugby coach. Recently, I've been coaching rugby for my younger boy for over 5 years, and I have this assistant coach. And at the end of last year, he got saved. Wow. Come on now. He rang me up on a Saturday, and I says, "Hey, Ivan, I heard you're preaching in Kapiti. Can I come along and listen to you?" I said, "Yeah, come along." He comes along to the service, and he gets saved for the first time. He's 42 years old. He gets saved for the very first time. I talk to him after the service, and I say to him, "Mark, what happened?" And he said, "This is the first time someone has told me not only why I should get saved, but how I should get saved." Well, since he got saved, his niece has been saved, his daughter's been saved, his son has been saved, his wife has been saved. Come on. There's someone in your world. Can I just say that we had to start an Alpha course in November of last year because my wife and I had led about 8 people from our workplace and from rugby and all the other circles we're involved. There's about 8 people we've led to the Lord over the last year, right? Just one-on-one. And we realized that, man, we've actually got to now teach them, because, you know, getting people saved is amazing, but now we've got to make disciples. Amen? So we did an Alpha course, and some of their spouses are not saved. So one young lady, she comes along, and her husband comes along with her. And he says, "Oh, look, I'm just coming along because she's coming along. I actually really don't want to be here." So, "Oh, that's fine. You're welcome." He goes, "Just to let you know, I'm an atheist." And I said, "Oh, they're welcome too. Don't worry. You come along." "Do you know what that means?" "That means I don't believe in God." And I was going, "Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Come along." Week one, leave saying, "Thank you for that, but it's not really for me, but I'll see you next week." Week two, comes along saying, "I really enjoyed talking to such and such." By week four, he's leaving, he's saying, "I think I need to relook at my perception of Jesus." A week after that, the Christmas production. Well, guess who puts up his hand at the Christmas production? The second part of the course starts in January. He comes along, and we're going around the circle, and we're all excited because we know that he's just got saved, and we're like going around the room and we're saying, "So how was it for you? We heard a lot of changes happen in your life." Wondering whether or not he's actually going to tell people he got saved. And he says, "Yeah, well, at Christmas, I put my hand up. I realized I needed Jesus." Wow. Amazing. You just need to start where you're at. The thing with God is that he takes you out of the world, and then he takes the world out of you, then he sends you back into the world. I'll say that again. The Lord takes you out of the world, salvation. Takes the world out of you, discipleship. Then he sends you back into the world, the Great Commission. Now, a lot of Christians, they come out of the world, and then the Lord takes the world out of them, discipleship. But then they don't do the third part. They don't go back into the world. Why do we have the fivefold ministry? to equip the saints. But let me show you this. The apostle, he's called to establish new work, plant new churches. For why? Why does he do that? To reach new people for Jesus, to fulfill the Great Commission. The prophet prophesied God's intention and God's vision for what the church is about to do. Why? Because he wants to see more people won, to fulfill a Great Commission. Why does the evangelist win souls? To fulfill the Great Commission. Why does the teacher teach people? So he can bring people to full wholeness so that they can go back into the world to fulfill the Great Commission. Why do you have a pastor that cares and looks after people so that they can come to a place of wholeness in their soul so then they can then be equipped to go out and reach their world for Jesus? He takes you out of the world. He takes the world out of you. Then he sends you back into the world. This pattern is right throughout the whole Bible. Moses comes out of Egypt. Then God, for 40 years, has to take Egypt out of him. And then he sends him back into Egypt to reach his people. Jesus, his disciples, takes these fishermen out of the world. Then he spends 3 years discipling them, takes the world out of them. And then on this day where he's about to ascend, he says, now I'm sending you back into the world. Amen. Where are you in the process? Has God brought you out of the world? Salvation. We're all grateful. Has God been discipling you, getting the world out of you? But I'm asking you today, are you being sent by God? Are you going? Are you part of the Great Commission to reach the world, to back into the world? God's pattern for your life is that he wants to send you. A similar passage in Luke 24, 46, 49 says this. Yes, it is written long ago, the Messiah will suffer and die, rise from the dead on the third day. It was written that this message will be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are my witnesses of all these things. And now I'll send the Holy Spirit, just as the Father had promised, but stay here until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, and the Lord isn't being slow about his promise, as some people may think. No, he has been patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. God's heart is that everyone would be reached with the gospel. There's not one person that you lock eyes with that Jesus didn't die for. It says there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. If Jesus had a talk show, or God had a talk show, it'll be like one of those Oprah moments. And we'll come to the end of our show and look under your seat. There's forgiveness for you and you. Everyone is going to get forgiveness. That's what the Great Commission was. It was like, hey, forgiveness for you. Forgiveness. It ain't going to be a car. Is it going to be a trip to Australia? It's going to be forgiveness for your sins. You are the Bible. You are the Bible. I love this scripture. 2 Samuel 14:14 says this. All of us must die eventually. It's an encouraging scripture, Ivan. Put that on your fridge for Monday morning. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God does not sweep life away. Instead, he devises, this is amazing. This is the part that I want. He devises ways to bring us back when we've been separated from him. I'll say that part again. It's amazing because you're part of this. He devises ways to bring us back when we've been separated from him. that once God reaches out to you, every person that you see that's not saved, God is trying to devise ways, strategies, moments where he can restore them back to himself. In Corinthians it says this, Jesus, the hope of glory in us, making his appeal through us for others to be reconciled back to God. That he's wanting us to be appealing. That the more he shines out of you, the more people will see him. That people get one to you before they get one to Jesus. Ooh. People get one to you before they get one to Christ. It's called relational evangelism. When people like you, they will end up liking your God. Amen. And that's why all of us, if you know how to smile and say good morning, you can do evangelism. If you can smile and say hello, how's your day? You can reach people for Jesus. Amen. By remembering, keeping the main thing, no matter what your gifting is, no matter what your passion, no matter what your talents, no matter what your calling is, all of us have the same mandate, the same person, and the same great commission. Let's have all the diversity. Let's have all the different giftings flowing together. But let's all make sure that we're heading on the same track, and that's to reach a lost nation for Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to share this vision. If you've heard this before, hear me share this before, but this is probably the thing that drives me the most. As a young Christian, I think I'd only been saved about a year, and it's good to see Jeff Moore there. Hey, Jeff. Jeff and I did internship back in 1998. That's how old I am. And God showed me this vision of this lake. And on this lake, there were thousands and millions of people. And this frozen lake was huge. And there was rolling hills in the background. And the sun was coming up. But there was an urgency in the air. There was just so many people on this lake. And the ice, because of the heat of the day, was getting thinner and thinner. And I noticed that everyone that was on the lake had a backpack. And everyone that had a backpack, every time they said certain things or did certain things, a rock would form and fall in the back of their backpack. And I realized that it was every time that somebody would sin. Every time someone would sin, a rock would form and fall into their backpack. So now people's lives are getting heavier and heavier, and the time is going on where the ice is getting thinner and thinner. And there is a danger, because there are some people that would fall through the ice and never be seen again. And then the vision changed, and I saw this one guy. He was in a business suit, and he falls to his knees, and he realizes he needs God, and he repents of his sin. And the great thing about God is that his mercy is available for everyone. And this young man, he begins to get right with God, and then this backpack lifts off his back and disappears. And we realize that as far as from the east is from the west, that's how far Jesus takes away our sin. And then this light comes and lifts off this young man and puts him off the lake and now on the shore. And I realized that that young man had just been saved, and now his life is on solid ground. And then as time went on, I started to see Jesus was on the side of the lake. And Jesus was like, there was fire in his eyes, and he was directing people that were on the shore to reach people that were on the lake. He was saying to this young man, he says, I want you to go over to that side of the lake. And he was like yelling out to this youth group. He says, I want you to reach those young people on that side of the lake. And he was telling people, I want you to go on that side of the lake. And he was just directing people, saying, go, go, go. And people were running. They're like, oh my gosh, I've got to reach these people off the lake. I saw youth groups building their outreaches, and it was right on the edge of the lake. And as they did an altar call, there were hundreds of young people that came off the lake and came onto the shore. And you realize that they had reached so many young people. You got to remember, this is a picture of your Easter city event. You're just putting a big event on the edge of the frozen lake. And then Pastor Dan's been given the honor to do an altar call, and he's going to call people off the lake. But as the visions, there's so many other things I haven't got time to share with you. But this part I do, there was Jesus. And as he was directing traffic, I was standing kind of behind him. And he looked over his shoulder. And about 10 meters behind him, there were these two guys. And they were playing cards. And they were having fun just playing cards with each other. And I saw the tears come down Jesus' face. And I realized he was sad. I realized he was burdened. And I realized the reason why he was burdened is that these two guys still had friends and family on the lake. And they had missed, something had distracted them. Something had caused them not to remember. Something had caused them not to make the main thing the main thing. Something was distracting them because their friends and family were still on the lake. And it was burdening Jesus. He's like, hey guys, come on, I need you. You're the closest ones to that person. You're the closest. I need you to reach out to the people on the lake. And after I saw this vision, it's been the one thing that has motivated me for the last 22 years. And I said to myself, Lord, I never want to be someone who's not on the side of the lake. Whether it's at my workplace, whether it's a bus driver, whether it's a waitress, whether it's the guy down at the dairy, I don't care. I'm going to reach out to everyone on the lake. God wants you to reach out to people on the lake. Why don't we stand? The Great Commission. We're all called to it. But there are people here this morning, and maybe you've come, and maybe you'll come here because someone has invited you. Maybe you're here because maybe you're searching for answers. And like I said before, the church exists for you. There are people here, and maybe you haven't been in a church, or maybe you went to church as a youngster. But the greatest decision you can ever make is to start a relationship with God. And we're going to give you that opportunity. We're not going to labor this very long, but we're going to give you an opportunity. If you're here this morning and you need to give your heart to God, you need to get right with God. Maybe you've known about God, but you don't know Him personally. Maybe you're here, you went to church all your life, but you haven't made a decision for yourself. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone just to close your eyes and bow your heads. And at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to take one of your hands and put it high in the air and say, Ivan, that's me. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to ask you to take that hand and put it high in the air and say, Ivan, include me in that prayer. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that God has brought you this morning to this place for this moment. For this moment. He's been reaching out to you. Nothing's been an accident. He's been devising ways to get you into the room for this moment. And if you're here, one, He loves you. Two, this is your moment. Three, put up your hand all over this place. Put up your hand all over this place. Bless you. Others here, there are others here saying, Ivan, I've been distant from God. I need to reconnect with God. That's me. Put up your hand right now. Others here, put up your hand. Bless you. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Others here. That's it. Don't be afraid. This is your moment with God. You're putting your hand up to reach out to Him, because right now He's reaching out to you. If that's you, I'm going to give you this last chance. Put up your hand all over this place. Awesome. Bless you over there. Bless you over there. Bless you over there. Awesome. That's fantastic. That is amazing. What we're going to do now, all those people that put up your hand, we're just going to pray a simple prayer. those of you that put up your hand, this is your prayer to God. This is your prayer where you can do business with God. And we're going to just say a simple prayer, repeat it after me, and everyone in the room are going to repeat that prayer as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you died for me. I thank you, Jesus. When you died on the cross, you forgave my sins. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Take leadership of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for taking me off the lake. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic.
Can we say thank you to Pastor Ivan? That was awesome. Fantastic. Thanks for listening. We hope that this message has been a blessing to you. If you'd like to give to the work of Forward Church, or you'd like to find out how you can become part of the Forward family, go to forwardchurch.com.au.